Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When I was younger, maybe around 9, my grandparents would take me to this bowling alley with them. They played for this bowling league. While I found anything to do in the building, as long as I stayed in my grandparents' line of sight. That was the rule they set for me, though most of the time they were so caught up in their game, I would sneak to the back where the cool games were. The bowling alley also doubled as an arcade, and my grandparents would give me money to keep me entertained. One of the workers there would always come to the back corner with me and watch me play one of the most popular games at the time. As a 9-year-old, I thought it was cool, as I felt like I had a 20-year-old friend I could have fun with and play games. Though, looking back, I realized just how weird this was. This night, I was playing the game with this 20-year-old employee like usual, when I looked back and noticed the guy was recording me with his phone. Now, again, I was 9, and while I thought it was weird, I didn't understand just how wrong this really was. I look back at my game, as it required my attention, and asked him what he was doing. But when I get the chance to look back at him, maybe 10 seconds later, he was gone. This honestly really disturbed me, and caused me to go back to my grandparents and sit with them for the rest of the night. But a few minutes later, I saw him again peeking around from one of the game machines. He was giving me that finger gesture, indicating for me to come to him. Against my better judgment, I did. He told me he had something cool to show me, but that I was in the back. I didn't even get a chance to respond before he grabbed my arm and started pulling me to the back through the employees-only door. I was a little worried at this point, but didn't question it. He proceeded to lead me through a back exit of the building into this dimly lit parking lot where I assume all the employees parked. He clicked the button on his car keys to open the trunk, and he told me he had some really cool games he wanted to show me. But his trunk was empty. He told me to get in and look closer, as they were hidden in the back a bit. But just as I was about to start crawling in and look, I hear the back door open again as my grandma screamed as loud as I've ever heard her scream. I backed away, and the guy slammed the trunk closed, got in his car, and booked it out of there. My grandma called the police immediately, and was now crying. Me being a little kid, I still didn't understand what was going on, but started crying too at the sight of my grandma crying. I'm a lot older now, but this memory still haunts me to this day. I remember genuinely thinking nothing was wrong in that situation. Apparently, the guy was later arrested in his house by police, and obviously fired. And apparently the guy was fired from his job before the arcade, for similar things to what he had done to me. Overall, just a really disturbing dude. This happened in 2015, when I was 16 and still living in my hometown. My hometown's in the middle of nowhere. It's so remote it's probably not even known by surrounding areas. Basically, there's three things you can do there as a teenager. Go to the movies, swim, or go to this pathetic little place called Miller's Fun Park. It's relatively similar to a lot of fun park type things, only a whole lot worse. There's this crappy arcade, with broken skee-ball machines, batting cages that probably haven't been used since the early 80s, a pathetic mini-golf course, and the most dangerous go-karts you've probably ever seen in your life. If there weren't workers there, I would honestly just think it was abandoned. That's how bad it was. Now, Miller's Fun Park was on the edge of a forest, about 3 miles worth. If our town was in the middle of nowhere, this park was practically on the moon. Anyway, my cousin Emma and I decided one summer night that we wanted to go go-karting and possibly mess around in the arcade. It was around 10 p.m., so we knew it'd be almost deserted, but that was the way we liked it. I picked her up from her house, and we made the long drive down. Once we had arrived, we noticed the parking lot was almost completely empty, other than the employees' cars. Though, this really wasn't surprising, as this place had seen better days and was obviously not going to stay in business much longer. We hopped out of the car and paid for some go-karting tickets. There was no one there except a few guys in the arcade around our age. But that's when we noticed this guy, maybe mid-60s, leaning up against the fence that leads to the forest. It was weird though, he was on the other side, as if he had just come from behind the trees. Emma and I didn't pay much attention to him, and went to the go-kart track. Like I said, these carts were incredibly dangerous, so I focused on nothing but making sure I wasn't going to skid and flip as we raced way too fast around the windy track. This is why I didn't notice when the guy must have climbed the fence and was now sitting on a bench near the track. He stared at me with the most unsettling expression, a creepy smile playing on his cracked lips as his dark eyes looked at us. I managed an uneasy smile back so as not to seem rude. I handed another ticket to the guy running the go-karts, and Emma and I went off. Though, this time I couldn't focus. The dude gave me the worst type of feeling. My eyes were constantly finding their way to that bench where he sat, unmoving, and watching us every time we were in his view. The thing that was bothering me the most was that we had only bought 3 tickets. We were on our second to last run, and this guy was sitting directly where we needed to go to exit the track. I was just praying he'd move before we were done. But of course, luck wasn't on my side that night. Our last go came and went, and I had no choice but to pull in and park next to him, unbuckle my seatbelt, and get out of my go-kart. I glanced over at Emma a few feet away as I opened the exit gate to see if she was as scared as I was, but she didn't seem to notice as she started bragging about how she beat me the last 2 races. I was barely listening to her at that point. I opened the gate, and the guy stepped in front of me just as I was leaving.
"What are you girls doing out so late?"
he said with a little smile on his face. My eyes instantly darted over to Emma, who was looking at the dude with both confusion and annoyance. She asked him what he was talking about as she tried pushing past him to leave.
"Do your parents know you're out this late?"
he said. I quickly replied with yes, and that they were actually waiting in the parking lot to pick us up and that we needed to go. This was a lie, and probably sounded like it from my tone, but I tried to push past him anyway. It didn't work. He grabbed my shoulder to keep me in front of him.
"That's not true. I saw you girls pull up alone."
My heart dropped to my stomach.
"Why don't I walk you to your car?"
He starts inching towards me, and I looked up at Emma for help. With one swift movement, she pulled me halfway behind her and started sizing the guy up. This was pretty dumb, as we were both small, and though she's a few inches taller than me, neither of us are anywhere near his size. This guy clears 6'2 easy, but she doesn't seem to care. Emma quickly told the guy that we were actually going to go to the arcade, because my boyfriend was going to meet us there, and he was already waiting for us. Now, I did have a boyfriend at the time, but he wasn't coming. He wasn't even in town. I knew she knew this, but I'm glad she actually made up a pretty good lie. And the guy's face immediately changed. His smile disappeared, and he was now glaring down at me with a look of annoyance in his eyes. Emma didn't give the guy time to say anything. She grabbed my arm and tugged me behind her into the arcade. The boys from before had already left, and the usual girl who worked in there was nowhere to be found. Still, it felt safer than outside. We ran to the back and hid behind one of the claw machines. I asked Emma what we should do, as I left my phone in the car. There was no way I was going out there alone. Emma said we should just make a run for the car. I wanted to disagree, but I knew we had no other option. I swallowed hard, honestly wanting to cry. I had never been that scared before. There was something so off about that guy. We slowly made our way out of the arcade, looking around to see if he was nearby. The park was now absolutely deserted. Emma practically had to drag me to the exit. I was looking every direction, every second, waiting for the guy to come out of the woods and confront us, possibly even worse. But he didn't. Everything was completely quiet except for the sounds of the night. As we slowly creeped closer to the car, Emma told me to get my keys out and have them ready. So I did. I pulled them from my pocket. We were about 20 feet from my car when I stopped dead in my tracks. I was staring at the car keys in my hand. And that's when I got this pure feeling of dread that overtook me. I had never locked the car. I could see the fear in Emma's eyes as I told her. She turned back around and continued inching towards the car. I grabbed her arm to stop her, but she pulled away.
"I'm just gonna look. If I say run, you run."
Her voice was quiet. I nodded shakily. She eventually made it close enough to see inside. By the way she was squinting, I knew it was way too dark to make anything out. It was absolutely pitch black this night. My heart was beating out of my chest, thinking things like, what if he was in there? What if he jumps out? Or what if we get in and he's hiding in the trunk? All of these thoughts almost drowned out the unmistakable sound of shoes slamming against the pavement. My head whipped around instantly, and there he was, sprinting at us full speed out of the woods. I screamed bloody murder as I broke for the car, jiggling the handle as I realized I had locked it on us. Emma was already on the other side, screaming at me to unlock it. I fumbled with the keys, but managed not to drop them as I unlocked the door, flung it open, and practically threw myself inside. I'd managed to close the door right as the guy got close. He was slamming his fists against the window and shouting incoherently. I was sobbing at this point and barely managed to lock the doors as he went for the handle and continually yanked on it as hard as he could. Emma was screaming at me to go, and through my tears, I shoved the key into the ignition and flew into reverse. He was still chasing us and yelling as I veered backwards out of the lot and turned as fast as I could while slamming on the gas. I could barely see the road through the flood of tears. Emma had to grab the wheel several times to keep us from crashing before I regained some composure. Though obviously shaken up, she managed to keep her tears in as we drove 30 miles over the speed limit the whole way back home. Both of us agreed not to tell either of our parents about this. But looking back, I wish we had, because there was something seriously wrong with that guy. We were too scared of what they might say or do. I think I thought they'd blame us somehow. So it stayed a secret between us. Somehow even we didn't talk about it until months after the horrifying encounter. It's safe to say, we never went back to Miller's Fun Park after that.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Race into savings now at Menards. Mastercraft makes great doors inside and out, building the highest quality doors in a wide variety of styles. Add beauty to your home with interior doors from Mastercraft. Shop our huge in-stock selection or design your door your way in-store or online. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Mastercraft doors today.
Save big.